Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today's Monday, July 31st, 2023, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. And today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 97, that first paragraph, Never Avoid These Responsibilities, through one paragraph today, ending, Occasionally, you will have to meet such conditions. And we're commenting on this one paragraph only today. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Justine F., 12 Traditions, Joanne L., Reader of the Text, Abby D., Lorraine N. will read page 164, and our backup reader is Cheryl S. The reference number for Sunday, July 30th, is 20,488. That's 20488. And for this morning, Monday, July 31st, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 20,489. That's 20489. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Alex K., and Betsy H. will do the announcements. Thank you so much, everyone, for your service and for the whole month of July. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Justine F. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Hi, this is Justine, compulsive overeater. Here are the steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Justine F. I will now ask Joanne L. to read the 12 Traditions of OA.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Dawn. Thank you. It was so nice being with you for the month and everybody on the line. I'm Joanne L., recovered in Rhode Island. The 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. In 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And I thank Leia for allowing me to do service all month. Thank you and have a good meeting. And I pass.
Thank you so much, Joanne L. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 97, the first paragraph, Never Avoid These Responsibilities. Reading through one paragraph ending, occasionally you will have to meet such conditions. And we're reading and commenting on this one paragraph today. I will now ask Abby D. to begin reading. Star 1, Abby.
Hi, Dawn. Thank you so much. I was talking away and wasn't unmuted. All right. Hi, everyone. My name is Abby D. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Michigan. Never avoid these responsibilities, but be sure you are doing the right thing if you assume them. Helping others is the foundation stone of your recovery. A kindly act once in a while isn't enough. You have to act the Good Samaritan every day if need be. It may mean the loss of many nights' sleep, great interference with your pleasures, interruptions to your business. It may mean sharing your money and your home, counseling frantic wives and relatives, innumerable trips to police courts, sanitariums, hospitals, jails, and asylums. Your telephone may jangle at any time of the day or night. Your wife may sometimes say she is neglected. A drunk may smash the furniture in your home or burn a mattress. You may have to fight with him if he is violent. Sometimes you will have to call a doctor and administer sedatives under his direction. Another time you may have to send for the police or an ambulance. Occasionally you will have to meet such conditions. All right, hello again. My name is Abby, compulsive overeater in Michigan. When I realized that I was reading this paragraph, I felt like I got the perfect paragraph for me because I have recently been married in the past year, and it's been such an interesting balancing act between like my husband and my home life and then program. And what really stands out to me is it may mean, or your telephone may jangle at any time of the day or night. Your wife may sometimes say she's neglected. And I have always made a lot of calls. Like when I first found out in this program that 10 steps helped me and phone calls helped me connect with my higher power and bring me back to spiritual balance, that became very important for me to have an outlet for my emotions when I'm feeling certain ways. And when I was single, it was no problem. I'd make phone calls whenever, and I'd work with sponsees whenever. And it was, you know, I could schedule things in any time I wasn't working. But as I'm, you know, now that I'm married and living with somebody else, it's such a balancing act trying to figure out, like, okay, when should I be taking phone calls? And, you know, I've felt before guilt about my husband being upstairs while I'm downstairs working with a sponsee, or, you know, I need to do a 10 step, so I need to remove myself from the situation, or, you know, trying to figure out what works with his work schedule. When am I taking calls? When, you know, and it's like I can't separate a program from my life because I work the 12 steps in all areas of my life, but it's just, it's like this is such an ongoing spiritual development process for me, figuring out, you know, when it's okay for me to answer phone calls and when I should really be with my family. So I definitely have had great interference with pleasures and interruptions to work and loss of night's sleep. Like I've definitely had those things, but I know, like it says in the second sentence, helping others is the foundation stone of my recovery. A kindly act once in a while is not enough. I have to do this every day. I have to be of service to OA, to a program that has helped me escape the disease. And you know, like that's the reason why I have my husband and I have all these things in my life. And so I have to remember to give back and not let these amazing promises get in the way of that. And so it's definitely an ongoing process. I'm still always calling people asking, how do you do the balance between work and home and program? But I'm in it for the long haul, and I believe God will continue to guide me. So thank you so much for letting me share, Nika.
Thank you so much, Abby D. I'm now going to take the names of people who would like to share in this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us today?
Wendy B.
Wendy B.
Veronica B.
Yep.
Rena in New Jersey.
Rena.
Christina
P.
Hi, P.
From Seattle.
Was that Gail?
Christy M.
Yes.
H from
Seattle.
Okay. And who is the other voice?
Christy M.
Christy M. Okay, let's go. And Deborah G. Let's go ahead and stop there. I have Wendy B., Veronica B., Rena, Haya, Gail, Christy, and Deborah. Did I miss anyone? Okay, let's go ahead and start with Wendy B. from Arizona.
Good morning. This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And the line that stood out to me this morning was, you have to act the good Samaritan every day if need be. And the story of the good Samaritan was told in the book of Luke, and, you know, as an example of loving those who may not be our friends. And, you know, one of the lessons of the story, you know, is to love one another, you know, even if we're busy or we're tired or we're late, you know, or we don't like them, you know, we're still called to love. And the Good Samaritan recognized, you know, the dignity of the man, you know, as a fellow human being, you know, alongside of the road. You know, he was attacked and robbed and stripped and beaten, and he didn't pass him by like the priest and the Levite, but he stopped to help him. And the Good Samaritan label is often used, you know, to describe someone who's acting selflessly, you know, to benefit others. And in the big book, the term we use is altruistic, you know, which is the selfish, selfless concern for the well-being of others. And to be honest, you know, I don't think my motives for doing service and helping others are that pure yet. You know, I still see selfishness in my motives. You know, I still see that I want recognition and appreciation, you know, when I do something for someone. You know, I want it to benefit me too. And, you know, I'm still a work in progress in this area, you know, but God's helping me, you know, to make that gigantic shift from being my own agent, doing things for my benefit, to him being the principal, you know, and me being his agent, acting on his behalf for his benefit and glory. And then I really like the qualifier at the end of that sentence where it says, if need be. You know, I get to trust God to bring it to my awareness, you know, where there's legitimate needs he wants me to meet. You know, I get to have discernment so I'm not, you know, just wearing myself out, people pleasing every need and request, but I'm praying about, you know, where God wants to use me for maximum benefit, you know, in accomplishing his purposes. And that's all I have. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Wendy B. from Arizona. Veronica B., please share with us, followed by Rena.
Hi, good morning. My name is Veronica B., recovered compulsive overeater in California. And thank you, Dawn, for your service. It's really good to be on the line this morning. And what I really related to in this paragraph is helping others is a foundation stone of our recovery. A kindly act once in a while isn't enough. I came in sober and anonymous, desperate and hopeless, could not stop binging and eating and throwing up. That had become a way of life for me. And so when I came to you guys, I was willing to do anything my sponsor suggested of me. And I got really busy working these steps, and I got a power of my understanding that I like to call God, and I am indebted to this program. My sponsor was so kind to me, and she sacrificed her time to guide me in these steps so that I could have a relationship with a God of my understanding, so that my compulsive eating could get removed, my obsession of eating could get removed. She took the time to do that for me. And in return, she said to me, I have to do the same for others. That it was my duty, and it was, but it was really in working the steps that changed me. It took away, you know, this program is all about subtraction of like my ego, of my selfishness, and in subtracting my selfishness and my ego, in turn, like it turned me into wanting to help others. It just happens naturally from wanting to do God's will, from wanting to do his work. It has changed my thinking, where my foundation today is, how can I be useful? How can I contribute to this? How can I help? This is my attitude of how I show up in the world today because of these steps, because of my rearrangements that I've had in my heart of going from selfish to selflessness. And I could not have done it without the help of a sponsor. And I really encourage people that, you know, finish the steps to work with others. It really is what has helped me the most in growing spiritually.
Time.
And just giving back. Anyways, thank you so much for letting me share. Everyone have a good day.
Thank you so much, Veronica B. from California. Rena, please share with us, followed by Haya P.
Thank you, Rena in New Jersey. Thank you so much for the prior years and for everyone doing service. I really like this page. I had previously highlighted never avoid these responsibilities, but be sure you are doing the right thing if you assume them. So that's great. And the next part, helping others, is a foundation. That's great too. And it says you have to act as a good Samaritan every day if need be. The need is not always there every single day. So for me, there's balance. Yes, I need to make strenuous effort to help other people in programs. I'm in 6 fellowships. So this is important for me to say, okay, is there a need? Am I trying to do something for a sponsee that they should be doing for themselves? I take the time to study the big book. They need to take the time to study the big book as well. I do make time. I make outreach calls when I walk every day. Today was day 100 of me walking every day for half an hour. And during that walk, I talk to God. I check the WhatsApp groups to see who is looking for outreach. And I call whoever's available at that time. So, yes, it is important to act as a good Samaritan every day, but it also says if need be. So that means I need to balance taking care of my recovery and not a rescue. But as it says elsewhere in the big book, to lay the spiritual kit at their feet for their inspection and decide, you know, what tools they need for their recovery. But I'm grateful that I have some recovery in the program.
Thank you so much, Rena from New Jersey. Haya P., please share with us, followed by Gail H. in Seattle.
Hi, everybody. This is Haya P. I'm very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater, bulimic and restrictor, and I live in Colorado. And I'm just really grateful to be here this morning and have an opportunity to listen and to share. And I just want to welcome anyone who's new to OA or new to this meeting or coming back or has been in the rooms and has been struggling. There really is hope, and I hope that this meeting is offering that hope. You know, I am so grateful for all the people over the years that have helped me. And so I really try to be there for people when they ask for help. And I appreciate, you know, some of the sentiments that were already shared. And, you know, I think that there are, my experience has been is that there are different people have different roles in their life at different times in their life when there's like so much time to give service and when there's less time to give service in this way because service is needed in other spaces as well, like family. And, you know, I'm very grateful. My life has gotten very full over the years. However, when I don't make time to work with others, that is a recipe for relapse, right? The book tells us. So it's really a delicate balance. And I guess when I'm thinking about the Good Samaritan, you know, being the Good Samaritan every day, that's like really been something that I've tried to implement in my life, and I'm really grateful for that. You know, I try to help people in general. You know, it's really easy to be really nice to people in program. It's all the other people out there, you know, whether, you know, close to me. And so trying to be available as best as I can, and it's been a work in progress, and I don't always do it gracefully, but learning, you know, day by day, and trying to be available for my husband and my children, and being able to balance. And I think also out there in the world, you know, I don't know, I've tried to be helpful, you know, where I can. And I also, at times, you know, I think I have to refrain because I'm depleting myself. You know, there's this balance. It's a balance. Life is a balance. And I'm just grateful for the, you know, gosh, hundreds, if not thousands of women that have supported me over these decades. And I'm so grateful that this is a spiritual program. Was not what I was looking for when I came here. I was looking for a way to stop eating and binging. Thanks. and what I got is so much more in return. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Haya P. from Colorado. If you're just joining us, we are on page 97, talking about that first paragraph that begins with, never avoid these responsibilities, through that one paragraph ending, occasionally you will have to meet such conditions. So Gail H., please share with us, followed by Christy M.
Thank you. I'm Gail H. from Seattle, Washington. And as I'm reading this, there are, I think about all the different people that needed to do different things at that time. And I came into the program 55 years ago, and not having all of the great people and professions and doctors and progress that we have made with addiction, it just brings to mind how far we have come in so many ways. And so with that, I've had a very interesting past year, as many people in recovery have, and my skill set has changed in how I give. You know, that ability, as it says in this paragraph, is that we pause and pray and ask God's guidance in where we give and where we don't. And part of that has been getting right-sized over the years and recognizing my humanness, both my limitations and the gifts that God has given me. And I've had to learn over this past year how to be a gracious receiver. That is my giving to others. I've had limitations. They've not been awful and terrible, but they have provided me in a situation where doing for others was the way that I gave back to this program, and now it's appreciating what others do for me. And that, you know, again, that is that spiritual yoo-hoo of how to be a good Samaritan at this time in life, and also being so grateful. As I listen to everyone on the line, thank goodness those to-do lists and never always say yes, and all those things that helped with getting abstinence in a minute-to-minute kind of situation is now in a little different place for me right now, and expending too much energy, my character defects fly up all over, which is my humanness. And it's asking God's help to take a look at that, get guidance. And I guess the longer I'm in this program, the more I cling to my higher power to kind of pause, pray, and whether I make the right decision or the wrong decision, I make it with the guidance of this program and my higher power. And I can't help but learn a day at a time. And recently, just in a day or two, I've had that kind of grace back where I'm looking forward to reaching out and calling and seeing how others are. So thank you so much for all that you share in this meeting, and I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Gail H. from Seattle. Christy M., please share with us, followed by Deborah G., and then I'll be taking some more names.
Good morning. This is Christy M., grateful recovering overeater, anorexic and bulimic from Oregon. So I really identify with this paragraph in the sense that the just daily mundane busyness of life can oftentimes encroach on my recovery. And I started thinking as I was listening to everyone about, you know, what I needed and what kept me coming back. And one of the most important things was hearing the experiences, strength, and hope of people who were abstinents, who had found abstinence through this program, sharing in meetings, hearing recovery, hearing strong recovery, being able to have a sponsor guide me through the 12 steps and be available to me when I was struggling for outreach. Having people when I needed outreach and my sponsor wasn't available, respond back and be there to support me, you know, when I was struggling with my abstinence. And that's what makes this program work. And so not only do I need those things for my own recovery, you know, as I get recovery, I need to be that that voice of recovery for others that are coming in new to the program. And I am a single parent of 5 kids. I work a somewhat demanding job, and it's really easy for me to justify and make excuses for being too busy for program. And boy, that lesson teaches me every time that, you know, I can't rest on my laurels and that my disease is doing push-ups in the parking lot and that my recovery is, you know, a 24-hour reprieve based on my spiritual condition, because there's nothing more humbling than when I skip a meeting or I don't do my 10-step or, you know, I have a food thought and I don't share with my sponsor how fast my disease can just creep on in there. And it's just, no matter how many years I have, no matter how recovered I think I am, it's just a reminder I need this program every day. And I need that recovery. I need that community. And the way that community helps others get recovered and helps me stay recovered is for people to show up to meetings, to share their experience, strength, and hope, to take outreach calls, to reach out, and to be willing to be sponsors once they've found abstinence and gone through the 12 steps. And, you know, part of my disease is perfectionism, and it's easy for me to justify that, you know, I'll never be perfect enough to guide somebody because my program's never going to be perfect. And just like my life isn't ever going to be perfect. And I really need to get, you know, out of that mindset and put myself out there. And this is kind of encouraging me to do that. So I want to thank everyone for being here. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Christy M. from Oregon. Deborah G., please share with us.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much, Dawn, for your service again. And I'm Deborah G. from Arizona, compulsive overeater. And thank you all for making this meeting possible and all your shares and helping me today. And welcome, welcome to all the newcomers. I'm so glad that you're here. And yes, you know, I remember my sponsor telling me not to make the mistake of taking on too many sponsees like I have. Unfortunately, I hadn't listened to her a couple times and have done that. And it's just really overwhelming. And also, you know, I wake up in the morning and self, and I have to say, when I remember, you know, please God help me, please God use me, what do you have for me today? And again, like it's been shared, that balance with healthy boundaries, I'm learning that. It's an ongoing learning with, you know, my recovery, all the calls that I do, and then also taking in calls and those that I work with, how many I work with, and then having my life, having a life there, you know, that's always important there. And yeah, just, again, just learning. I'm learning about myself and I'm learning that balance. And those healthy boundaries with that balance with God's help, you know, and sometimes I don't invite God in. That's where I get into trouble with that people pleasing, codependency, all that stuff where I take on too much. I don't want to do that to myself. I want to find that place. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Deborah G. from Arizona. And I'm now going to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. We're on page 97, that first paragraph, starting with, never avoid these responsibilities through that entire paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Shlomi,
Diane
Hannah
from Texas.
Alex K.
Shlomi, Hannah, I believe?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, and who were the other voices?
Diane Y. from Texas.
Diane?
Alex K.
Joan Marie.
Alex K., Joan Marie, and one more name?
Dana B. is in Boy from Texas.
And Dana B., and we'll stop there. Shlomit Hannah, Diane, Alex, Joan Marie, and Dana B. Shlomit, Hannah, please go ahead and share with us.
Okay, thank you so much. Thank you for your service.
Thanks, everybody, for being here and for the timekeeper. So this paragraph, you know, just kind of taking it as a whole really amazes me. And, you know, I never cease to be amazed at the selflessness of the first 100 alcoholics. You know, they didn't have the kind of technology that we have now, obviously. You know, they didn't have cell phones. They didn't have WhatsApp. They didn't even have push-button phones, you know. And so a lot more needed to be done in person. but in some ways, I think that actually we're missing out nowadays because you can't, you know, you can't replace that face-to-face, person-to-person contact. And just looking at the lengths that they went to help other people, their whole lives were just dedicated to helping other people. And that kind of humility and selflessness really touches me. And I think that, you know, when I read this, I feel like I want to do that too, you know. And interestingly, like I don't hold myself to the same standard because, thank goodness, I've gotten to a part in my recovery where I can say, I am not Bill Wilson, I'm not Dr. Bob, I never will be. I'm me, but I can still do service my way and be inspired by them in a way that fits into my lifestyle, and I can definitely use them as great role models to be a better person, to be more selfless, to be more giving, and to devote my time to other people in other ways. And, you know, I love that service is such a pivotal part of this program because as addicts, you know, we are very into self. And I think that that's, you know, I think that that's a very human thing, actually, but this program really helps me become a better person by taking it out of myself and focusing on other people and on how I can give back and what I can do for them, and not making the focus on me. So I appreciate this paragraph, and I'll pass with that. Thank you.
Thank you, Shlomi Tana. Diane Y. from Texas, please share with us, followed by Alex.
Good morning. It's Diane Y. from Texas Composer. This passage is amazing to me. This metaphor of being the Good Samaritan, going back to that story, the Samaritan was going along their way doing their thing, and then had an encounter and allowed this interruption so that they could help this other person. And this passage reminds me of the selfishness, my plans, my schemes, my thing. And when I come from those perspectives, I'm not kind. I don't think of others. I don't think of how I can be helpful. And this is the crux of the program. My problem is not food. It's the symptom. The real problem is my selfishness. I want what I want when I want it. And anything that interferes with my plans or interfered with my plans would just send me into unkindness. And this is what has to be ripped out of my brain. What is my purpose? Why am I here? And this passage reminds me of the evening review. It actually asked the question, was I kind and tolerant towards everyone? Not a little bit here and there, not I was kind one or two times, but a real jerk the rest of the day. Was I kind and tolerant towards others, period? This is the crux of my issue. And to the extent I can work these 12 steps and surrender to them and surrender to God, I can come from a different place. And those evenings when I do my review and I can say, you know what? Yeah, I was kind towards everybody. those are amazing days when I get in my day saying that. And so that's all I have to share. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Diane Y. from Texas. Alex, please share with us, followed by Joan Marie, and if you could give me your initial and where you're calling from.
Thank you, Dawn. Alex K. in California. Recovered for today. Compulsive eater. Thanks for being here, everyone. The line that said helping others is the foundation of recovery struck me. I need to make my recovery a priority, and doing service strengthens my recovery. I need to do it, and I want to do it. I'm grateful I have the willingness to do what I can when I can. I need to be willing to go to any lengths to recover. And it's important to find balance between time doing service and time to myself, and consider my energy limitations, be clear about what I can and can't do and what's my responsibility and what's not my responsibility. I try to be available as much as I can, and I'm inspired by all the people over many years who've generously helped me and continue to do so. It's a beautiful part of the program that we get to pass on what we've been given. And then I see it happening in other areas of my life where I'm less self-centered and think more about others and how I can be helpful and compassionate. And it helps me feel more part of the world, part of the human race, rather than so alone and separate like I did for so long. And when I find that when I can give lovingly and from my heart and without expectations, and then I do receive a lot back, really as much or more in return, it's just such a different way of life than how I lived most of my life, and it feels very, very higher powered when I can do it without expecting anything in return, other than I know it helps me, it helps my recovery, and I feel like it's my responsibility and it's something I want to do. Really grateful. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you so much, Alex K. from California. Joan Marie, please share with us, followed by Dana B. Star one, Joan Marie.
Good morning, everybody. This is Joan Marie M. from Nevada, recovered and grateful and thankful to God for the grace and peace he's given me. And I like where it said that really stood out to me as the foundation, cornerstone of our recovery. And as I tell my sponsees, it's a privilege. It's an honor. And it gives me such a destiny in my life because I know what it's like. I've been there. Don't want to go back. And to guarantee that I don't go back, it's helping others and reaching out when I need help also. That one I'm not really too good at, and I'm getting better at that. But like I said, I'm so grateful. It's such a beautiful healing program. And if I work it to the best of my ability by helping others also, I keep that freedom from the bondage of self, freedom from the bondage of food, that I'm placed in a place of neutrality around food. And that's a miracle. That's a miracle for me who could not stop eating compulsively. And so I'm so grateful to all of you, all your shares, the meeting, all the service that the people do to make this possible. And I say to all of you, God bless.
Well, thank you so much, Joan Marie from Nevada. Dana B., please share with us and let us know where you're calling from.
Good morning. Dana B. is in Boy from Texas, compulsive overeater. I just want to give just like a one minute lead in to discussing this paragraph, which is when I came into the rooms of Vision OA, or I should say just OA, I was not ready to hear what you were saying or sharing or offering. I did a diet and lost 40 pounds. I was overweight, and I'm a very short person, so that looks like a lot of weight on me. I found a diet. I lost the 40. And I'm like, okay, now I'll go back to OA, and I've lost my weight, and maybe I can hear what you're having to say. That didn't work, and I gained back 50 within, I think, 6 months. So came in just beaten down to a pulp and found a vision, the Steps Through the Big Book by a wonderful sponsor. And here, leading up to this paragraph. So I found entire abstinence. I found neutrality with the food. I found a spiritual awakening where I was seeing myself be a different person in many situations. And then she said, go sponsor. And I'm like, wait. And she goes, we're following the big book and you are neutral with food and go and share that with others. And so I did, and I am doing it, and it's wonderful. It's definitely keeping me sober, abstinent. What I want to say about that is I had someone call me to ask me to be a sponsor. He was a single mom, very busy schedule, working late. And she could only meet my time 6 in the morning, which I've been getting up at 7 a.m. And I just really had to consider her circumstances and go, why won't you get up an hour or so earlier? Why won't you meet where she's at? And I did. And now I love getting up at that time. And, you know, we've done wonderful step work together. So I just wanted to say, if anyone's hesitant to start working with others, just jump in, just follow the outline your sponsor did. You'll be adding some of your own to it in no time. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Dana B. from Texas, and to everyone who shared, making this meeting just really wonderful. And we're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164. And just a quick note, if you happen to be new, please stick around because we're going to offer new people a time to announce their names and numbers in just a moment. So now a reading from page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Lorraine N. please read a vision for you? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, good morning and thank you. Good morning, everyone. Lorraine N., recovered compulsive overeater in Oregon. A vision for you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Amen.